And so you get folks praying for you, not to mention that there's that much more power released in the Spirit. Paul said that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine through the power or in accordance with the degree of the power that is at work in us. So the more people you have praying, especially spiritually powerful people that are praying about that situation, the more power is being released in the Spirit to accomplish great and mighty things for God. So man, yes sir, when you're in a situation, absolutely trust God, pray to God, and get as many of your Christian brothers and sisters as you can praying right alongside of you, and let that power go forth and let God get the glory. Praise God. Laura, I wanted to cry when you started testifying today, man. It just got so filled up. Because that's exactly what God did when God's people came together and prayed and cried out to Him and trusted in Him. And Barbara, I am still in the ring, sister. I have not put in that towel yet. I'm gonna stay on my face, stay on my knees because I want God to get the glory. I want to stand in here and shout until we bring the roof down that our God is able to deliver and He is mighty to save. And I believe in my heart of hearts that He's given us reason to hope. He's given us strong reason to hope in Him. Amen. Storm the gates of heaven, man. Praise God. So number one, trust in God. He's able to deliver. Number two, pray to God and get all your brothers and sisters praying with you. Number three, if we look up above, right above this passage in 2 Corinthians where we started at, we go right up above that, we actually find a third way to respond to Satan's counterattacks, and that is comfort others. Trust in God, He's able to deliver. Pray to God, He's able to deliver. Comfort others because God is able to deliver them also. And if you look at that passage in 2 Corinthians, it says, next one. Paul starts off, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." It's kind of a tongue twister, but he's saying when God blesses me, it gives me the ability to encourage others with that same comfort when they're facing that same situation, because then I've earned the right to say God can and will deliver. I've earned the right to say God can give you hope. And it's not just some platitude or some pie in the sky. I walked it out. I faced that darkness. I faced that death. And God delivered me. He can deliver you too. One of the reasons God allows us to experience trials is so that we can testify to other people of how great our God is. It's for His namesake, for His glory. So that we can tell. In fact, I think one of the Psalms says, "Oh, that men would declare the greatness of God and the things He does for them." It's the psalmist just saying, "Oh, that people would do this, that they would tell the good things God has done." Don't keep it to yourself. Testify, tell others, tell them how scared you were and tell them how crazy you are now with joy that your God was so tender and merciful. How sustaining His grace was when you still didn't know the outcome. How you felt His presence there strengthening you and giving you encouragement and hope and helping you to carry on. And how awesome it was when His power finally came through and you saw and tasted that victory. Tell folks about it. It's so much more meaningful to hear these things from people who have actually experienced it. Praise God. You know, if somebody comes to you and they've never been through a situation, And it's good for them to say, you know, Scripture says, you know, you really ought to trust in God. I mean, he can deliver you out of that. But if they've been there, if they've walked in those shoes, and you're looking at them as a living testimony of what you've been through, that's powerful. That is powerful. When we went to the wedding last week, Chris Peeler and his wife Linda, who had both lost their spouse, and that valley they had to go through, but to hear them testify at that wedding of how God had brought that full circle, and not to diminish their pain or their grief, but how amazed they were at how providential God was, that He would work that in their life. That they, to the place where they, in spite of the depth of the pain that they experienced, they would not go back or have it any other way, because they were so convinced and persuaded of the things God was doing and was going to do in their life. I know my own self, when I had battled Crohn's disease for so many years, unspeakable pain at times. It would just go on for like days, to where you lost the strength to even cope anymore. And I remember right about the time that I became a pastor, '99, I had managed to get a hold of it through various diet, you know, eliminating certain foods out of my life, eliminating certain things and managing to a place where it was under control. But I felt the Lord saying to me that He was going to do something with that. And one of my doctors said, well, you know, we found this mass in there. We've got to cut it out because it's creating a blockage. You know, if you just let it go, it'll completely block the thing. You'll die. You won't be able to, you know, eat. So we're just going to go in and cut that out of you. And something in my spirit, as clear as a bell, I mean crystal clear, said to me, John, God is going to do this for you because He needs to put some depth in you so you can be able to be a little bit more compassionate and a little more empathetic with the sufferings and trials that people are going through. So don't despair. It's going to be a little bit rough, but this is for the sake of your ministry so that I can deepen you a little bit. And I was like, is that God? I don't know, you know. I mean, it's good if it is, but if, you know, I'm not really crazy about going through that kind of thing. And so when I went in for surgery, it was 6 days in the hospital. And it was I really didn't think it was going to be as hard as it really turned out to be, man. I don't want to get gross and stuff, but I hadn't had any food or water for 6 days, but that didn't mean anything. I mean, I was sick as a dog, man. I hurt. I couldn't sleep. I ran out of strength somewhere around day number 3, and I remember Gus calling me to encourage me, and I tried to tell him. He said, how are you doing? And before I could even get it out, I just burst into tears. I was like, you know, like the guy down in Princess Bride where he's in the, you know, he's like, how did that feel? And he goes, interesting. That's how I felt, man. I felt like a year of my life had been sucked out of me through that experience. And, you know, and gross things were happening in my body. And I was like, God, this is not good. And I know I've testified before how right around, you know, the afternoon of day number 5, I had that encounter with God where His grace just descended on me in prayer. I was saying, Lord, You promised no good thing would You withhold from those who walk uprightly. And I don't have any controversy. You haven't pointed out anything in my life that You have a problem with. So I'm going to hold You to Your promise. You said no good thing with You would You withhold. And I need some good stuff right now because I am spent. And His Spirit descended on me, and that cloud of gold, I could just, as my eyes were closed, and I saw that gold haze all around, and fell asleep in prayer, and then woke up, and that thing was gone and has never troubled me since. It's worth every minute. It was worth every minute of that pain. And I'm so grateful. And every time I go in the doctor's office and he asks me if I've had symptoms, I said, no, doc, God healed me of that. And every time he just brushes that off, I don't care, gives me the chance to say it anyway. Just keep asking. I'll be here in 3 more months. Ask me again and I'll tell you the same story. So let me ask you this. At this point in the situation, while this riot is going on in Ephesus, let me ask this question. Did Paul escape alive out of the riot situation in Ephesus? Answer, A, yes, B, no, or C, sorry, I was asleep. What was the question? How many people say A, yes? How many people say B, no, they killed him? How many people say, don't raise your hand, I won't believe you. The answer is A, yes, he got alive out of, got saved alive out of that situation. Here they are, he's facing certain death for him and his friends. The entire city has conspired and agreed to kill him. They've gathered together 25,000 people screaming at the top of their lungs, and the city clerk comes to the podium and he says, men and brethren, what the heck are you doing? Are you crazy? He said, yes, Diana is great. Everybody knows that. You made your point. Who doesn't know that? But if you guys have a problem, there are courts to deal with this thing. If Demetrius has a problem, let him file suit. Let him take it to the proconsul. Let him take it to court. Because frankly, we are in danger of being called into question. If the Romans find out this is going on, they're going to come institute martial law. You won't be able to go out on the street without facing the sword. If you don't want that, get your act together. And in the words of Ferris Bueller, what are you still doing here? Go home. It's over. And it says, I'm sure to Paul's amazement, in verse 41, he dismissed the assembly. They all went home. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul? He's like, boy, I hope I have my life insurance paid back in Jerusalem. Man, I don't know, this is bad. And the next thing you know, they're all going home. That's our God, man. That's what God is able to do if we will stand in faith and lay a hold of His promises by prayer so that His glory can be magnified, so that we, 2,000 years later in some podunk town of Queenstown, can be talking about this thing that He was going through. 2,000 years later, still God is getting the glory out of that thing. What does God want to get the glory out of in your life? What is He doing in your life that He wants you to be able to testify to tomorrow? To say, I didn't know how we were doing it, but God came through. I will stand on Him. My faith is secure because I know my God is mighty to save. Praise God. So, 3 points. When the devil counterattacks, blindsides you with a Mack truck of satanic opposition, number one, trust in God, because God is able to deliver you. Number two, pray to God, because God is able to deliver you. And number three, comfort and tell others, because God is able to deliver them also. And I don't think it was any happenstance accident of the testimonies that went forth this morning. I think it was orchestrated by the Holy Spirit because He wants you to know that He is able to deliver.